to you, O Lord.
John begins this gospel with a prologue, a hymn of the Word, through whom all things were created. This Word became flesh and brought truth and grace to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I see we have... Tessa, would you like to come up?
Okay.
Come on up. Have a seat. I understand that you had something exciting happen this week. What did you do? You turned 9. That was exciting. Was there something else that happened in your life? How about your brother? He had his tonsils out. Yeah, he's not feeling the most super right now, is it? But turning 9, that's important. Did you have a party? Did you? Fantastic. And did you know that God chose you as his child way back when you were baptized? And so you've got something else to be thankful for. Not only are you 9, but you are God's child. And that's what makes this day special for you too. Because today, you get to receive him again in communion, don't you? All right. Well, how would it be if we say a prayer for your brother, shall we? Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask your special blessing on Callum. We ask that you bless him so with healing, so that he can feel better and be more of a fun brother to be around. And I thank you for Tessa, and I ask your blessing on her as she celebrates another milestone in her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. There's a passage of Scripture that I repeat almost every day, and I pray it at least once a day. It's the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And those words, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives my sins, who heals my diseases, who redeems my life from Sheol, from hell, who crowns me with steadfast love and tender mercy, and who gives me the opportunity to soar like the eagle." I put that in my own words. But those are the words of the psalmist, reminding us that something really special takes place in our life every single day. We are forgiven. We are healed. We are given all kinds of blessings. And we have the opportunity to soar like an eagle. Have you ever had the experience of being someplace and asking yourself, what in the world am I doing now? What am I doing here? I mean, it's happened to me. I have been blessed beyond measure in getting to travel a lot, but also in getting being asked to speak at different opportunities. Believe it or not, I actually was invited to speak at a convention of the National Funeral Directors Association. And yeah, it was exciting. It really was, because and the thing that really made me give me a little bit cause of pause was the other speaker was an author of one of the books that I'd read in seminary, Paul Hurion, and I thought, what am I doing here with this guy? I mean, he's incredible, and there's just me. And I've had that same experience, or not similar experience, in places like where I spoke, in Augsburg, Germany, in Lublin, Poland, in Asuncion, Paraguay, and most incredible of all, Buffalo, Wyoming. Just imagine, there are sometimes, you know, even wherever you are, you ask that question, what am I doing here? What has God called me to? Well, I'd like to tell you two stories about birds. I already talked about soaring like the eagles. Well, one of them comes from a Danish theologian by the name of Soren Kierkegaard. Some of you may have heard the story before. It's about the preaching goose. In a certain barnyard, there was a preaching goose, and every week he would come out and he would preach and extol the benefits of being a goose. And all of the farmyard geese would go, honk, 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 honk. They would appreciate what he was saying. And he would extol the fact that they had wings and they could fly. And they could go wherever they wanted to if they wanted to. And they honk, honk, honked about that too. And then he said, and besides that, we have in our minds the ability to migrate like all of those geese who fly overhead. We could do that. And they honk, honk, honk. Week after week. They honk, honk, honk. But week after week, they were satisfied with being barnyard geese. And nothing really happened. The other story has to do with a book by Richard Bach entitled Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Some of you may have read it. It's a short book. I highly recommend it. It's one that you could read to the kids. Beautiful, beautiful story. It was also made into a movie that I thought was fantastic. It's about a seagull who is with all the other seagulls, and they follow the fishing boats around, and they're satisfied with eating fish guts and whatever else that the fishermen throw away. But one day he says, you know, there's got to be more to life than just eating fish guts. There's got to be more exciting things. I need to fly. And he began to experiment with all kinds of flight and would see how high he could go and what kind of a spin he could get himself into. And yeah, sometimes he would fall and hurt himself. It wasn't always enjoyable, but he kept at it. And he kept flying, and when he finally thought he had it perfected, he came down to all of his fellow seagulls, and he was telling them all that he could do when he flew like this, and they were thrilled that he would do that. But they were content to follow fishing boats and eat fish guts. Well, they're the frustration that the preaching goose and Jonathan Livingston Seagull experience kind of exemplify what happens with many of the people in our scriptures. Now, at the end, toward the end of the movie, there is a prayer. All of the music for the movie was written by, I believe, by Neil Diamond. And he sings a prayer that goes like this. If I can remember the words. Dear Father, we dream. While we wait, who are we to need? To need, we need. While we wait, while we wait. It's really a prayer that all of us could be praying. Because if we were honest and we realized we too have all of the benefits, we have been blessed by the Lord, our sins are forgiven, we are healed, we are blessed with all of the good things that God has in life for us, and we could be satisfied and just live with them. Or we too could be lifted up and soar into what God has in store for us. That's the message of the Old Testament prophets. It go all the way back to Noah. Can you imagine how frustrated Noah must have felt as he's floating away on the ark and thinking, why wouldn't anybody listen? Why did they just laugh at me? Or Moses. Remember, Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery into the wilderness. Now, one of the stories that we don't tell often enough is the story that goes, that is the next part of the story, in which Moses has them right on the doorstep of the promised land. And he sends spies in. And one group of spies, Joshua and Caleb, come back and they say, wow, this is a land of milk and honey. We've got to go in. But another group came back and said, oh, no, that's a terrible land. It's a land of giants. They'll kill us. They'll destroy us. Well, Moses at that point realizes, and God tells him too, you can't go in. You have a divided congregation. You have a congregation that if they do go in, they'll get wiped out. And so they wander around in the wilderness for 40 years as that whole generation dies off, all except Joshua and Caleb and their families, those who were faithful. And then the walls of Jericho come tumbling down and they are able to march in. Well, there are other stories we could tell, but it was the same frustration that the prophets experienced. In today's first reading, Jeremiah is talking about how God has plans for his people. If you will return to the Lord and follow God's plan, great things are about to happen. Now, as you know the rest of the story, they weren't paying much attention. Many of them were, until God actually brings them back. Isaiah repeats the same kind of message where if you will return to the Lord your God, God will bless you in such rich and deep ways that are beyond your knowing. Amazing. Paul also addresses this issue in that, you know, he's in prison quite often. But he's writing to his friends in Ephesus. If you take a look at your bulletin, look at the first verses of the second reading. This is what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Wow. If you read that every single day, it will remind you of who we are, of what we are. We are not just ordinary barnyard geese. We are not just ordinary seagulls eking out of an existence. We are intended by God for something great. How many of you remember Christmas Eve? I don't know where you were, but remember Christmas Eve? Remember the lessons of Christmas Eve? Remember the songs of Christmas Eve? We were reminded that, and it is repeated in this particular gospel, in the beginning was the Word, God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember those words? And then we prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus, be born in me this day." All right? Are we there? How many of you received communion? Because if you receive communion, you receive the body and blood of Christ. Now, for some people, it was a little piece of bread and a little glass of wine or a little grape juice, whatever. And you could have gone home and had some lutefisk or something equally exciting. But this bread and this wine is the body and blood of Christ, who invited himself into your life and who offers to live inside of you. You are not just you anymore. You are a special person in God's life. This whole church is a special church, body of Christ. This church is not just barnyard geese or seagulls eking out a few fish guts. We live and breathe with the body of Christ dwelling within us. I've been here about 14, 15 months, and I can tell you that there's a part of me, you may not see it all the time, but I get so excited at what I see. You don't see it probably because you're right in the midst of the swarm of geese, but but I see it. But I see it. I've been so excited over the last several months to see things happening that we may miss. Like what Tracy and her group are doing with our youth. Do you realize that on Wednesday nights, there are nearly 20 kids here for Sunday school, what we would call Sunday school, and that they are having fun becoming the body of Christ every Wednesday night? Well, not every other. We may get to every, but we'll take what we can get. But in addition, guys, we have something to learn from the women. Somehow the Spirit of God got into the women of the church, and exciting things are happening. They're not just going there to meet and gossip. They're doing Bible study. They're doing projects. They're doing all kinds of exciting things. And now I've heard another fantastically good news, that there are some women who can't do it during the day because they're working, and there's going to be an evening circle started up. Wow! Amazing things are happening. And they're well worth all of us realizing that as the body of Christ, good things can happen. Good things are happening. And the body of the Holy Spirit is working despite all of the negatives that have happened in the past. Despite any of the obstacles we have to face as the body of Christ, my friends, this church is going someplace. We've got wings to fly. We really do. So may we, as the body of Christ, soar like the eagles. May we fly like the migrating geese. May we reach heights greater than Jonathan Livingston Seagull ever dreamed of. Sing with me that prayer, would you? Dear Father, we dream, we dream, we dream, while we may, while we may. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep you stirred up and excited about the ministry that you are carrying out here in this place and in this time and in our world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.